This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Attorney John Ray, for some of the victims, well, he's back with more information and more of the affidavits that we've been hearing about. But now we're hearing about them in greater detail. We're hearing about exactly what happened, allegedly, with Rex Heuermann on some of his dates dating back into the 90s. There's a new account from a woman named Taylor, who was a bottle girl at a club, went back to a residence with someone she met there because, well, this man wanted her to meet Heuermann. They met, and it did not go well, but she remembers the encounter from 1994 and having to pull a taser to get out of that situation. Another account from Mary Poe, an individual, another sex worker who got shot by Rex Heuermann in the back of the neck, survived, got away. But just shocking accounts of this man from so many years ago. Joining me to discuss, Bob Motta, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Do go and check that out. Are you surprised by any of this? I mean, there really isn't a whole lot of reason for anybody to just come forward with these allegations for the hell of it right now or for some sort of posterity. And Rex Heuermann is a very... Very prolific, obvious, I don't know what word I'm looking for here, a standout man. It stands out in a crowd, without a doubt. What's your take on these new allegations that we're hearing from all these years ago about his behavior?
Yeah, I mean, they call him the ogre for a reason, right? I mean, is there ever been a more apt witness description of a person than calling that guy the ogre? I said, wow, nailed it. First time I heard it.
Yeah.
No, man, I remember when you and I were first talking about this case, when the arrest took place, and I told you then, and I continue to tell you now, is that he gives me like the biggest Gacy vibe out of anybody that I've seen get arrested, more than any other serial killer. Obviously a different MO, in that Heuermann really focused on, you know, sex workers of the female persuasion, and Gacy, obviously his type was, you know, young adult men, down to, you know, some younger 14, 15 year old men, young men. But in terms of the way they operated, it was very similar when Gacy was arrested. Mm-hmm. The number of people that came out of the woodwork, with stories of narrow escapes from Gacy is like right on par with Heuermann. You know, so no, it doesn't surprise me at all. No, I don't think that any of these people are lying. I think that every single one of them is telling the gospel, the absolute truth. I mean, does there exist a possibility somebody's trying to, you know, make some cash on it? Always. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you and I talk about that occasionally, you know, I mean, but in terms of the validity or the probability that it took place, it's highly likely, because there were so many victims of Gacy that didn't end up deceased, that survived him, that, you know, were out there.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, you sit there and you kind of wonder, you're like, well, like, why the hell didn't you go to law enforcement? You know, and then you have that situation where, because of their trade, they weren't willing to go to law enforcement. You know, I mean, that's why they were quiet. I mean, if they're sex workers, they're not going to put themselves in a police station making a report about some John that they had that attacked them, you know, because I mean, it's just, you know, it's like a no-win situation. So the end result being that this guy gets away with what he did for years, you know, because of who he selected as his victims and them not feeling able, because of fear of prosecution themselves, of coming forward to talk about these instances of, it at the very least, battery, you know, or assault, you know. So it's like, you know, John Ray, man, you know, he's got the goods. He said that he had the goods, and he had the goods. He was not bluffing about that. And love or hate the guy, I happen to think he does good work. I think he's really out there advocating on behalf of victims of Heuermann. And I'm just waiting for the one to drop that's got ASA.
That's what's going to be my next question,
you
because
know, like, really,
because he does seem to have the goods. He seems to be the one that's coming forward with a lot of this stuff before investigators and bringing it to light. And he keeps saying, look, there is more over there. There's discrepancies in the accounts of being out of town. And just looking at it in general, I mean, just anyone who's been in a relationship for any period of time as an adult, the idea that you have zero idea of what your spouse is engaged in for that long of time with that many people, with this many allegations, I just don't know how you would, or how you would not have some clue that something is going on. But is it cognitive dissonance? Is it trauma? Is it abuse so much that she didn't want to face the reality of what was going on over there? So she just did look the other way all the time. Because, I mean, I was talking to a psychologist about this earlier today. Is it something where it's much easier to accept lesser things with a significant other, like cheating or just like a serious indiscretion? But cheating is a hell of a lot different than killing a bunch of sex workers, you know, over a long period of time. So is it more believable that she didn't see these things because they were so extreme and nobody wants to accept that their partner is engaged in something that crazy? Maybe he's, you know, cheating here and there, but he couldn't be that. And then she had her head in the sand. I don't know. Or did she know what the hell was going on this whole time and just was like, I'm good.
Yeah. It's hard to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you sit here and you wonder about like any of these guys that do these things, like that were married. Mm-hmm. It's always the first thing that you ask yourself. I'm like, man, did the wife know?
Yeah.
Like she had to know, right? It's like, or she's got, you know, willful blindness. Like, you know, he's out at odd hours all the time. He's always doing strange things. And it's just something that she chooses or elects not to care about. You know what I mean? Like she's doing her thing. I mean, maybe they're like two ships passing in the night type marriage, or, you know, that are like roommates. I mean, it gets even weirder, you know, like she's involved with the sex parties. I mean, the guy was in the scene.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what's becoming evident is he was not like a lone wolf out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had a crew.
Yeah.
You know, there was a group of people that were in this like, I wouldn't call it a club per se, but maybe it was. I mean, like a lot of times, like swingers and groups like that, you know, like find like, and you know, they'll have parties, and you know, same with kind of like the people that are nudists. You know, they'll tend to gravitate towards each other, you know, cause they have similar interests.
Yeah.
And, you know, with him and Asa, it's just impossible to know until that we get some evidence of it. You know,
sure.
It's like, to me, she had to know something. Like she had to know, but like you said, could it have been like the guy's just stepping out on me.
Well,
and I don't care.
And at this point, I mean, I know there's the whole, you know, spouses not even to testify against one another. I mean, does that apply in this case, even when there's, you know, this gravity of crime, of all these murders?
Unless spousal privilege, like if she gets the divorce done before the trial,
sure.
Spousal privilege, you know.
If she were to get this divorce done before the trial, does spousal privilege go out the window? Could she then be subpoenaed and forced to answer questions, or does it, because they were married in that period of time, she doesn't have to testify?
I don't think the privilege will survive the divorce.
Actually,
don't quote me on that.
Yeah,
I don't know 100% on that,
because a lot of people are wondering why is she not divorced yet from him. And I wonder if that's it, because she doesn't want to have to put herself out there and say, yes, I was aware of all of these things. If it does turn out she was aware of all of these things, but they were married, if she stays married to him, does that put any responsibility over on her for having knowledge of these things, but not being the one that participated, not being the one that killed anybody, but knew your husband is killing people?
I think that there's definitely charges that exist in the world that they could charge her with, especially if they can prove knowledge that she had knowledge that he was an active serial killer.
Yeah.
Or that had killed one or more people and failed to notify authorities. It's like obstruction of justice, like just starting right there.
And then moving on. And we haven't heard, the last we heard a while back was that they had not interviewed her yet. I can't imagine why they haven't. Maybe they have by now. I don't know. But wouldn't that be something that they could go to her and say, offer her a plea deal in exchange for us not prosecuting you, you give us all the goods on your husband, and we won't go off on you for being aware that he's murdering these people. I mean, could that be something that would ever be brought to the table? Or are they still sitting there? Do you think this is still, let's just sit here, let her do her documentary, let her incriminate herself. We're going to subpoena all those tapes and see what she says and let that land where it's going to land. I'm just trying to figure out how she just continues on the way she is without anybody really taking a closer look at her right now.
Yeah, no, I think that the issue is the spousal immunity right now, you know, like I think that that is why they haven't interviewed her. I think that at this point, like you and I also talked about that whole concept of her doing this documentary where you and I both know that absolutely the documentarian's primary goal is to get a Robert Durst type, of course I killed them type thing, hot mic situation where she just slips up and makes an admission that is going to show that she was complicit in some way, shape, or form. So yeah, maybe like, I don't know when that thing's dropping, you know, like I don't know when that thing's coming out. I'm assuming that they're filming now.
Yeah.
You know, and like with that, they gained access to areas that they wouldn't have had otherwise. So maybe they're waiting for that. I don't know, man. But, you know, it's not a situation where they're going to be able to talk to her. You know, number one, she's lawyered up. Mm-hmm. And number two, she's got the privilege.
Yeah.
Spousal privilege.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's an enigma that we continue to watch there.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.